I want you to take your Bible this morning. Let's be going over the book of Isaiah. Going over to the book of Isaiah this morning. And I want to preach on a thought out of Isaiah chapter 43 with knowing that the Lord is always there. I want to preach on the divine presence and that of God this morning. I'm glad that the Lord is ever present and that with His children. And let me say this today, that no matter where you look, no matter what people say, you can see God everywhere. The Bible tells us over in the book of Psalms chapter 19 that the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Psalms chapter 12, I believe it is, tells us that the foolish said that there is no God. And so today I'm glad that I know that God is real, and I know that His divine presence is always here and at with the child of God. Isaiah chapter 43, as we begin to read, and He's dealing with the nation of Israel here. And He's telling Israel, He's telling them that He'll always be with them. And there's coming a restoration day, and that when He's going to restore them. But in Isaiah chapter 43, the Bible says, "But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore I will give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even every one that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you again for this wonderful day that you've given us. We thank you again, and that, Lord, for the songs that's been sung. I pray they've honored you. And Lord, I'm glad that I know you. I know more than just something about you, but I know you, but you know me, and I thank you for that this morning. We pray as we preach that, Lord, that folk would find help in the Word of God. We pray that you'd save the one that's lost, that's never been saved, and that you would help the one that needs help this morning. And I pray that you'd come by and anoint us afresh. Lord, thank you for this day. Save that sinner that's near his tail. For all these things in Jesus' name, amen. And amen. As we look in Isaiah chapter 43, we find primarily in verses 2 and verse 6 that God tells us that He'll always, or in verse 5, that He'll always be there. He told them right here in verse 2, He says, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee." He said in verse 5, "Fear not, for I am with thee." I'm glad today that He is a God that is ever present. I'm glad that I can feel Him, I can find Him, and I can see Him. The Bible talks about in verses 1 and 2, it talks about how the divine payment and that was made. He talks about redemption, and He talks about divine placement. He said, "I've called you by my name," or "by thy name." He talks about a divine possession. He said, "Thou art mine." Ain't you glad today that if you're saved, that you belong to God? Hey, I'm glad that I belong to Him. I don't belong to the devil no more. John 8 and 44, He said over there to those Pharisees, He said, "You're your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you'll do." Hey, I'm glad things changed when I got saved. But He talks about divine presence in verses 2 and verse 5. And so can I say for the child of God this morning, as we get started good, that friend, He's always with us. John chapter 14 and verse 18, as Jesus is getting His disciples ready. You know, in John 14, some of the greatest verses ever written, where He talks about over there, He said, "If I go away, I'll come again." But you know one thing that He told them in verse 18? He said, "I will not leave you comfortless." He said, "I will come
time to you. I'm glad that no matter what me and you are going through, I'm glad that Christ Jesus the Lord will always be there. Hebrews chapter 13 says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Boy, ain't you glad the sun come out? Amen. I'm glad to see the sunshine this morning. Hey, but listen, he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Look, number one, first of all, I want you to look at what he said in verse 2. Can I say he'll always be with us through the rough times? Look at what he's saying. Now notice he didn't talk about the sun shining and the breeze blowing easy and the stream just flowing a little bit. What did he say right here? In verse 2, he said, when thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Now listen, there's going to come rough times in our life. There's going to be hard times. I mean, it's easy to find God when everything's going okay. It's easy to see God when the rain quit and the sun come out. Hey, I'm looking at blue sky right now. Hey, it's easy to find God when it's like that. But listen, when you're treading that in the river and in the water and it feels like it's going to overflow you and the flame is on you, listen, friend, it's still, it's not that he ain't there. Sometimes he's just hard to see sometimes. But he's still there. What did he say right here? What did he say in verse 2? He said, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. As I studied this, I thought about Matthew chapter 7. And Jesus is closing that chapter. He begins to talk about the man who builds his house upon the rock and the man who builds his house upon the sand. And look at what he said in Matthew 7 verse 24. He said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I'll liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it's founded upon the rock. As we read on, we find, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Do you see one thing they had in common right here? These two houses did. The Bible said the rain descended, the floods came, and the wind blew. It done all that for the man that built his house upon the rock, and it done all that for the man that built his house upon the sand. We think that we shouldn't have storms. We think that we shouldn't have problems. We think that we shouldn't have to tread through the water and go through the river and I have to go through the fire and I do all these things and have persecution and bad times and hard times and rough times. I mean, sickness comes and we have financial distress. Listen, and I know that there's a lot of folk worried about finances right now. And listen, I know that God is able to handle things. But you know what? Even in our distress and times of discouragement and disappointment and depression and listen, when financial problems come and sickness and maybe even persecution, he'll always be there. If there's anybody that probably thought he was forgotten, it was Joseph. You look in the Old Testament, you'll find that, listen, because of who he was and listen, because of the prophecies that the Lord had gave him and all these things, his brothers hated him and sold him off down into Egypt, down there into slavery. And even after he got down to Potiphar's house, Potiphar's wife lied on him. He ended up in prison. And even after they said, we'll get you out because he interpreted that dream, and they forgot him for another 2 years. If anybody felt like that they were forgotten of God, no doubt it was probably Joseph. And how many of us feel that way sometimes? You know, Joseph was sitting down in prison because he'd done right. Do you realize that? Joseph was in prison not because he'd done wrong, but because he'd done right. He left his coat sitting in Potiphar's house and fled that fornication and left and he got in trouble. You know, when you do right, not everybody appreciates you doing right sometimes. And you get in trouble. But God is always with us. He never forgot Joseph. As a matter of fact, in his rough times and in his hard times, God moved and made ways for Joseph. That was just amazing. If you go back and you read all that story back there, We talk about the three Hebrew men over there, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. We talk about those men. He was with them, wasn't he? I mean, he was not only with them when they were standing there talking to the king, he got in the fire with them when they were in the midst of the fire. How many of you are in the fire right now? Maybe you feel like you're treading water, and it's about right here, and you just ain't sure that you're going to get out of it. Can I tell you, he's with you. If you're his, he ain't going to leave you, friend. He ain't forgot you today. I thought about Daniel in the den of lions over there. He sent his angel that night to shut up that lion. I thought about the Apostle Paul when he faced Alexander the coppersmith all by himself out there. And he stood out there and preached. And Paul said, there was no man with me except God. He stood with me. There's going to be times when you feel alone, but the Lord will be there. We talk about Job a lot in that time. You know, Job 14:1, man, he's born a woman, is a few days and full of trouble. And we talk about Job and all that he lost. He lost his family, lost his finances. He lost everything. He lost his health and everything. He lost his friends. Everything that he could possibly lose, he lost besides his life and all that time. And he talks in Job 23. He says, I go forward. He ain't there backwards. He ain't there left and right. He ain't there. But then Job said, he knoweth the way that I take. So he said, I know God's watching me. I know God's with me. Paul asked the questions in Romans chapter 8. Take your Bible this morning and go to Romans chapter 8. And by the way, you should have brought your Bible. I think most of you did. I hope you did. Romans chapter 8. Look in verse 35. He said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Sounds like happy times, don't they? Sounds like happy times. You need to say amen, Jacob. Amen. Amen. All right. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for thy slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No matter what we do or where we go, he's always with us. I love that amen sign. He's always with us. He's always got us. He makes every trip with us that we go through. You know, in Psalm 17, chapter 3, David said, for thou hast visited me in the nighttime. When it gets dark and it gets lonely and ain't nobody else around and we think that we've been left alone and the devil begins to play in our mind and our mind begins to drift down a road that it don't need to go and we think God has forgot us and left us. Listen, and we know he's not done those things. I mean, I thought about in Mark chapter 4 over there. I mean, the disciples are on a ship. They're in the midst of a storm in the ship. And the Bible says that he is in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. Now, they could see him and they could touch him. And they're worried that they're going to perish. He has promised us, church, that he will never leave us nor forsake us. But yet, I don't know about you, but I find myself, just like the disciples a lot of times, being able to see him and talk to him and touch him and even wake him up, if you would, and say, Lord, carest thou not that we perish? How many of us have been that way? Now, they were in a storm. I mean, they were in the midst of the storm. You can't discount the storm. I mean, the waves were rolling. I mean, the ship was getting tossed to and fro. But, you know, the Lord wasn't worried. He wasn't wringing his hands. He wasn't wore out. He wasn't concerned. As a matter of fact, he was so calm that he was asleep on the ship. The ship cannot go down with the Lord on board. It'll never happen. It can't happen. Amen. Amen. Listen, I love these flashing lights and amen signs. Thank you. Listen, but he was in the hinder part. And they awake him and said unto him, Master, curse thou not that we perish. How many times in rough times have we felt like the presence of God has disappeared? That we couldn't touch him or feel him or see him. See, during the good times, we know we can touch him and feel him and see him. And
We know that He has spoke to us and that He has moved and we have seen Him work. But now it's just like heaven has become like Bryce. And boy, there's nothing coming or going and we don't know what we're going to do. But He said in Isaiah 43, He said what? He said, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. You can stake your claim on that today. When rough times come, the presence of God will be there. Number two, when running time comes. What do you mean running times? Jonah chapter 1, most of you ought to know this. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down unto it and to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So not only in rough times do we find the presence of the Lord, but if you're trying to run from Him, you'll never get away from Him. If you're saved, you can't get away from the presence of God. Do you realize that? You can't get away from the presence of God. Jonah went all the way down and got in the belly of that ship. And the Bible said right here that he was doing what? He was doing what? The Bible said, but Jonah rose up. God said, go down to Nineveh and preach judgment to them. And the very first thing Jonah done, he rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. I always thought that was crazy. There was no way that if I was running from God that I'd want to get on a boat and getting in the middle of the sea. You can't get away from Him. And you know what? God let him get all the way down to Tarshish. God let him get down there to Joppa. He got on that boat. I had to get ready to go to Tarshish. And you know what happens? God lets him get out there in the middle of that sea where he can't get away from him. And then he puts him in the middle of a storm. And you know what? When them mariners begin to ask Jonah about what was going on and wanted him to pray, they asked him, who are you? Where are you from? What do you do? And all these things. And he began to tell them what had happened. And so he was running from the call of the Lord. You know, some run from it. If you go study about Elisha, he ran to it. Elijah came by and throwed his mantle on him. And he said, if you'll just let me go home and say goodbye to my mom and dad, he said, I'll go. Elisha, that's all Elisha needed to do. But Jonah, he ran. And you know what? When he got in the middle of that sea, there was God. You know, no matter where we get to, you'll always find God. He'll always show up. You know, me and my wife go down to St. Augustine, Georgia. And we go over to this fort, and we're standing out there. We look at this fort, and we go through this fort, and we come out to the end to catch the trolley to go back to the hotel. And here comes this man and wife and little child. And I'm looking at him, and I'm thinking to myself, that boy's a preacher. And for whatever reason, they walk up to us and just start talking to us. They wanted to know where they go get something to eat. And it is amazing how God always, and I wasn't running from him, but it is amazing how God will always just show up sometimes. And we just stood there and talked about the Lord, talked about why he was there to preach a funeral and all those things. But God has a funny way of showing up sometimes. He showed up for Elijah. Elijah was on the run. He wasn't on the run from God, but he was on the run from Jezebel, wasn't he? I mean, he had just fought the battle. If you let me say this, there was a battle there at Mount Carmel. He won that because of God. He goes just a little further on Mount Carmel, begins to pray for it to rain. Don't be praying for rain. Pray for it to quit raining right now. And I mean, he prayed for it to rain. It rained. And the next day, he gets a letter. And now he's on the run from Jezebel. But guess who was there the whole time? And that caught me when I began to study that scripture just last night and look over this. And I began to look about Elijah. Something dawned on me. A lot of times I give Elijah a hard time for running. Take your Bible and go over the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 19. I want you to look at something that jumped off the page at me. And I'd seen it before but just never really paid attention to it. The Bible said in verse 3 that he went for his life and came to Beersheba and left his servant there. Verse 4, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree and requested for himself that he might die and said, it's enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I'm not better than my fathers. Here he sits. He's in a state of discouragement or depression or whatever you want to call it. He's sitting under the juniper tree. And he's on the run from Jezebel. And he says, Lord, you just might as well kill me. I'm no better than the fathers, the prophets that were before me. I'm on the run. Verse 5, and he lay and slept under a juniper tree
Behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. Even though Elijah was on the run, and we give Elijah a hard time a lot of times for running from Jezebel, did you see right here that the Lord still strengthened him and took care of him and knew what was in front of him and knew what was going to happen? A lot of times we run from our problems and our insecurities, and we run from all kinds of things, but yet the Lord in His graciousness and in His mercy, He still takes care of us, don't He? Is that not what He done? Is that not what He done for Elijah right here? I'm not telling you to run. I'm just telling you that even in the midst of Elijah being, have you not just not ever got messed up? Have you just not ever got messed, I mean just messed things up and say, boy, I probably shouldn't have done that. I probably shouldn't have went that direction. But in all that, even though we were running, and sometimes running is futile, even though we're running, God was still there. And you know what He done for Elijah? He took care of him. He said, Elijah, yeah, I can see he's laid down under that juniper tree, and that angel comes over and kicks him a little bit and pushes on him and says, you're going to have to eat. And so he eats and he lays back down and sleeps again. The angel comes back by and pushes on him, says, you got to eat. Said, the journey's too far. See, God knew what was going to happen. And if you ever go study how far Elijah traveled from Mount Carmel all the way from the northern part of Israel all the way down to the southern part. And you know what? When he got down there so far out to the Mount of God over at Mount Horeb, he gets in that cave over there, and guess who shows up at the cave? Well, there was a whirlwind, there was a fire, and there was an earthquake. But then the Bible said, and then there was a still small voice. The presence of God showed up and said, Elijah, here's what I want you to do. So he was running, but yet God was still there. He'll always show up. Number three, there's divine presence when it's rough. There's divine presence when we're running. And then there's divine presence at a ruling day, come judgment day. Do you realize there's coming a day you're going to stand before God, and I'm going to stand before God. One day after a while, we will be in divine presence at that point. What are you going to do? The Bible tells us in the book of 2 Corinthians, I believe it was, that we all have to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. If you're saved, you'll be at the judgment seat. What are we going to say? What is our works going to prove out? What, I mean, it's not works for salvation, but I mean, are they going to be gold and silver and precious stones? Are they going to be wood, hay, and stubble? I mean, as we stand at a judgment seat and that for our stewardship, the faithfulness of our stewardship at divine presence one day, what are we going to do? I hope I've got something. I hope when all the burning gets done and all the ashes are left, I hope there's something in the ashes to give back to Him. You go over to the book of the Revelation, you'll find 10:4-20 elders, which is representation of the church. You'll find that they took their crowns and they throwed them at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that loved us and died for us. I hope there's something left that I have to cash back to Him. But we're all going to have to give an account one day. Everybody has to stand in divine presence one day after a while. There's a judgment seat, but then there's a great white throne. Revelations chapter 20, as I get ready to finish, Revelations chapter 20, take your Bible and look with me. As the dead are brought up before the Lord to be judged, the Bible said in verse 11, and I saw a great white throne and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. What did it say right here in verse 11? And I saw a great white throne and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There comes a day that every lost person, every man and woman that's never been saved, is going to stand at judgment
before the Lord Jesus Christ. There'll be divine presence that day. What are you going to say then? Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 31 tells us that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I hope you're saved today. If you're saved, then listen. When it's rough times, you can make it through because He's with us. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. But you know, for the lost person today, do you know that Jesus stands ready to save? His presence is real today. He stands ready to save. He said in Matthew chapter 11, come unto me all you that labor and are heavy laden. I believe it was in John. Was it in John chapter 7 at the last day of that great feast that Jesus said, if you're thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And you'll have divine presence. If you've never been saved, you can get saved today. He said, well, preacher, this is a strange time or a strange opportunity. No, listen, any opportunity. If God's dealing with your heart, you need to get saved. If he's knocking on your door, you need to get saved. Listen today, all he wants to do is come and reside in your heart. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will open the door, he said, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. Isaiah chapter 49, church, he says this, can a woman forget her suckling child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? He said, yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. He said, I'll never forget you. I've got you. You know how I know I'm saved eternally? Matthew chapter 7. When the wicked are brought up before the Lord over there, he makes a statement. He said, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you. You know, for me to be saved and lost again, the Lord would have to say, I knew you, but I forgot you. But you know, today, he knows me. I'm his, and I belong to him. I hope you do too. I hope you belong to him today. I hope you don't. Listen, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what your fears and your worries are. But I know that the Lord will be with you. Cry out to him, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you, and he'll take care of it. Listen today, the presence of God, you can't run from it. He'll be there through rough times, but there's coming a day you're going to stand before him. How will you stand before God? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We thank you for helping us today. We thank you in that for just another opportunity that you give us to preach. I pray, Lord, that this goes out and it helps people that need help. Pray that conviction upon people that needed conviction. And Lord, we just tried to give them what you give me. And Lord, I pray that it's brought glory and honor to you. Lord, I pray now as we get ready to go, I pray that, Lord, that folk would serve you and lean on you and look to you. And Lord, that you'd help folk today. Lord, again, I ask that you'd save somebody, help them, Lord, see their need and trust in you. We love you and we thank you today. Go with us and keep us. Lord, bless this song that we're about to sing. And I pray your honor today. Save somebody for this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.